to serve the Lord, there's no better place than children's ministry. I think I might resign being a pastor and go do children's ministry forever. I don't know. If God would let me, I'd probably do that. But I love children's ministry, and I think it is one of the most important ministries that we do. Satan's trying to train our young people, isn't he? He's trying to get into their heart and get into their head. I think we should, the church, should really raise them up and train them in the way they should go. We do it at home, but we definitely ought to do it in the church also. Man, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about today. The conference in Clarkston is really going to be a great conference, and I want to encourage you to be there. It's not a woman's conference. It's a man's conference, a woman's conference, a teenager's conference, an old man's conference, an old woman's conference, a young woman's conference, a young man's conference. They've titled it this year Strong Meet because they just really feel like God is going to speak into the people at that conference meaty, strong, powerful things. How many of you would like some of that? Anybody meat eaters around here? I'm a meat eater. I have the pointy teeth. I like to chew meat, you know. I love the strong stuff in God and His Word. I'm going to be speaking Friday night. Carrie's going to be speaking Saturday morning, and Mom will be speaking Saturday afternoon. And it's going to be really, really good. So bring your fork and your knife and come to the Strong Meat Conference. Amen. What's the series? Anybody know? Endurance. Yeah, we've been talking about enduring. We've been talking about how important it is. The first lesson was kind of how endurance and faith go together. Hebrews chapter 11 is just the reputation of the people of the Old Testament and in the Bible, those that accomplished a lot, those that made it through, those that did the things that God needed done, they did it because of their faith and their endurance. There was a lot of folks that quit. There was a lot of folks that gave in. There was a lot of folks that gave up. They're not in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. They're in different other parts of the Bible. And other places, maybe, too. You and I need to be people of endurance. Last week, we talked about Moses. And we talked about that Moses had a lifestyle of endurance. We talked about his birth and how he was at risk. From the moment of conception and birth, he was at risk. And his life was risky all the way through, and it was a difficult life of many things that he had to endure. It became a lifestyle for Moses, and you and I really should develop a lifestyle of endurance. And remember, we're not talking about life is hard, life is difficult, just endure it, you'll be fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an athlete that builds up their endurance so that they can win the race. That's what we're talking about in this series. So you and I should build up our spiritual endurance. We should build up our relational endurance. We should build up our emotional endurance so that we can win the race that God has called us to run. Here in 2015, we're running our race, right? It's our turn. People in the Bible, they had their turn. The last generation had their turn. It's our turn now. Are we going to run? Are we going to win? Are we going to have the endurance? I'm saying yes for me, but you got to say yes for yourself, and I'm hoping you will. Today we're talking about what happens when you lose your endurance. How do you know that Moses lost it a couple times? I mean, we look at each other once in a while, you go, don't mess with me, I'm about to lose it. What is it? We'll talk about what it is here in a little bit, but if you're not careful, you can lose endurance. You can just let it go. You can have endurance up to a point. You can make sacrifices. You can meet challenges. You can overcome up to a certain point, and then you can lose your endurance and then lose everything you've gained. Lose everything you've been living for. Lose everything you've been fighting for. Lose everything that you believe in and you hope in. And if we're not careful, we can lose our endurance and just lose life. Lose what it's really all about. And I want us to get our endurance built up and not lose our endurance, but increase endurance. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible's cool because it's a little louder. It's amplified. But there's some extra words in there that hopefully increase the meaning in English. A lot of times English doesn't quite do what Hebrew and Greek and Chaldean, those languages did. A lot of times our English words are a little too short, and we need to expand upon what the meaning of all that was. And so the Amplified Bible kind of helps us out with that a little bit. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and that sin that so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and he's also the finisher, the one who brings it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining that prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, ignoring the shame, and is set down and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. I don't know about you, but I admire people that have big endurance. Athletes. I admire athletes that they've trained. You know, even, what is it, Michael Phelps. I think the guy swims a little, right? He swims a little. When they look at Michael Phelps and his lung capacity is just huge because of all the training that he's gone through in his swimming. And I'm just wondering, what is our spiritual lung capacity, you and I? You know, it's like, do we dog paddle 20 feet and panned like a dog because we're about ready to drown? Or can we do that Olympic swimming and win those gold medals because we've increased our capacity? Man, sometimes I feel like my capacity is way too small. When my capacity is small, I let go too easy. I give up too easy. I just roll over and wet on myself like a dog. You know, when you ever seen a dog that's scared? He just rolls over, wets on himself. No, I give up. Please, no. I've seen that in the Christian world a lot. We got to go do laundry more often, maybe, or something. But if we're not careful, we can end up giving up when we should be digging in. We can end up losing it when we should be gaining it, when we should be getting it, when we should be accomplishing it. Our why has to stay bigger than our why not. Sometimes that's the endurance. Sometimes your why is bigger than your why not. And when your why not gets bigger than your why, you'll quit. You'll not endure. You'll not be able to hang on. How big's your why right now? How big's your why not? Sometimes when I listen to people, their why not is really big, and their why is itty bitty. I want our why to be really big, and the why nots to be itty bitty. Don't you think that's better? I think that's better. There are always reasons not to endure, not to finish, not to win, But focusing on the not to's, the reasons not to, will mess you up. Can anybody give me an amen on that one? If you focus on the reasons not to, it will mess you up. There's a lot of times my flesh doesn't want to do what's right. There's a lot of times I don't want to endure. And if I focus on my feelings, my flesh, my schedule, my tiredness, my weariness, if I'll focus on that, I'll find lots of reasons to give up. So it'll mess you up. Anybody been there? You want to point at somebody that you know has been there? I know they, right? Right here. Me too. Yep. Moses, the last couple of weeks I've been driving home this point repetitively. I've been saying Moses had a strong sense of justice. Remember me talking about that? Moses has a strong sense of justice. You can see that, you know, when he killed the Egyptian that was beating the Hebrew slave. He had this strong sense of justice. How many of you know that your greatest strength can become your greatest weakness if you're not careful, right? Anybody know that? It's so true. It's crazy. Now, I remember when I first realized that, it was like, what? This strength has now become my detriment. It's become a weakness for me. And Satan loves to exploit a strength in your life so you'll overemphasize it, use it at the wrong time and in the wrong manner, and then mess things up. Well, Moses had this strong sense of justice, which caused him to do amazing things for God, but it also caused him to lose it a couple times. Don't you know that Moses lost it a few times? There's hope for you and I, because he did okay, Moses did. He kind of wrote the first five books of the Bible. You know, he's one of God's heroes. He did okay, but he didn't do it perfect, did he? And he lost it. And I think he lost one of the things he wanted most. We'll talk about that at the end of the message. He lost one of the things he wanted most, and he worked the hardest for. He ended up losing it. I don't want you and I to do that. I want you and I to get to the end of our life and experience and realize some of the things we wanted most. I want you and I to get there. Let's talk about Moses' sense of justice a little bit, and he lost it a few times. Moses is Pharaoh's, what would we call, stepson? Something like that. His daughter raised Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, found him floating in the river, raised him as her son. Pharaoh fed him, educated him, clothed him, bought him birthday presents, all that stuff, Christmas presents. Oh, they probably didn't have Christmas back then, did they? One day, Moses is a young man, and he sees an Egyptian kill or punishing and beating this Hebrew slave. And Moses' sense of justice raised up in him, and he killed the guy. I think, did Moses lose it? Do you think he lost it right then? Do you think it was God's will that Moses killed that guy? I think he lost it. I do. I think his sense of justice was manipulated by Satan in a way to where Moses lost it. He lost his endurance. The next day, two Hebrews are arguing, one's being mean to the other one, and Moses' sense of justice rises up again, and what does he do? He says, hey, knock it off, you be nice. And the guy said, what, are you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses started running for his life, didn't he? He took off. He had to leave Egypt. He was a wanted man. He's wandering through the desert looking for a place to go, looking for something to do. He's running away from Egypt. He has nowhere to go. He has no friends. He has nothing. And he comes to this well where some shepherds are arguing over whose sheep can get in the water and whose can't. And there were some female shepherds and there were some male shepherds. And the male shepherds were picking on, abusing this female shepherds, and Moses' sense of justice rose up, and he defended the lady shepherds. Remember, we talked about this last week, and he actually ended up marrying one of them and lived happily ever after. No, not quite. His sense of justice raised up. Moses had this sense of justice many, many times. He comes to the burning bush, and God says, I got something I want you to do. And Moses said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. He said, I want you to go to Egypt. He goes, what? What? He said, the cry of my people will come up before my ears, and I want to deliver them. I want to set them free. And Moses had some objections, but he ended up going because of his sense of justice. He ended up going. Now, 10 plagues happened, and they got set free, and away they go, and they cross the Red Sea on dry land, and they live happily ever after, right? No, they don't, right? Because they just barely get across the Red Sea on dry land. They have the celebration, they're dancing, they're writing songs, they're doing little worship stuff, you know, and everything's cool until they get thirsty. And as soon as they get thirsty, they attack Moses. And Moses, he did really good. He said, God, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to take that cool little stick and hit that rock and give them water. And so that's what happened. A little later, they were hungry. They were mad at Moses. God talked to Moses. Moses said, what should I do? He said, well, I'm going to send them quail. A little while later, a guy named Korah and his group said, Moses, we're just as cool as you. We have as much authority as you have. We can do anything you can do. Remember what happened that day? God lost it. The earth swallowed up Korah and all of his company because they were coming against Moses. There was a bunch of events that Moses' justice would rise up. There were times when God wanted to kill all the people and Moses interceded for them. I've interceded for you guys. I'm not saying God wanted to kill y'all, but I'm just saying I prayed for you. And a lot of you can say, yeah, we prayed for you too, Pastor. And that's cool. There's times we got to intercede for each other. There were a couple times Moses wanted to kill them all, and God said, no, we're not going to do that today. And they kind of helped each other out. That sense of justice was pretty big. So Moses lost it when he killed the Egyptian. Remember when Moses went to the top of the mountain and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? And God gave him the Ten Commandments. And God wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets. Anybody see Charlton Heston holding those up? Those two tablets. And then Moses comes down from the mountain all excited because he and God have had this amazing experience. And what are the people doing? They created a golden idol, and they're dancing around naked and getting drunk. And Moses lost it. Did he lose it? I mean, he broke all 10 commandments in one moment right there. He just threw them, and they all broke, you know? He totally lost it. You think it was God's will that Moses broke those tablets? No, he was just ticked off. He just lost his endurance. He couldn't believe what they were doing. You know what happened? Moses ended up having to go back up the mountain for 40 more days. This dude fasted for 80 days. That's like 3 months. He was skinny when he came off of that mountain. I tell you what. Second time I want to point out that Moses lost it. The third time, we're going to read the verses here in just a minute. It's way down the road in the journey. God had proven himself over and over. God had given them all these miracles. God had given them water out of the rock. God had given them quail. God had met all of their needs over and over and over. And they got thirsty again. And they assembled against Moses, is what the Bible says. We're having a meeting, an anti-Moses meeting is what we're having. This dude brought us out here to kill us with thirst. And they actually said, we would have been better off if we would have died with all those that have already died. I mean, some of them had died in plagues because they were they had another anti-Moses meeting and they ended up dying in a plague. And they actually said, we wish we would have died with all the rest of those folks. And God and Moses had a conversation. The repetitive pattern here is Moses said, God, what should I do? Most of the time, Moses went and did what God told him to do. He had this endurance. A couple times, he didn't. This time, God said, Moses, speak to the rock, water will come forth, and you will glorify me in the presence of all these people. Let's read what happened in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1. The children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. The people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died with our brethren when our brethren died before the Lord, why have you brought up this assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our animals should die here? Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. They were going to go ask God, what should we do, God? The glory of the Lord appeared to them, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, oh, God told him to speak to the rock, but instead he spoke to the people. How many times does God want you and I to speak to the situation and proclaim something and glorify him, but instead we speak to the people? Moses gathered the assembly in the rock, before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Moses' sense of justice, he lost it. He was ticked off. Then Moses lifted his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. And then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given to them. This is the water of Meribah, and that word means contention. Because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. There are times we need to confront things, and there's times we need to deal with things and make strong statements, but you cannot lose it, get in the flesh, and do what you want to do and still get a good result. You have to do what God wants you to do. So we're talking about endurance. In your marriage, if you would learn endurance and do what God wants you to do instead of doing what you want to do, instead of saying what you want to say, instead of saying it how you want to say it, if you would say, God, what do I do with this woman? And God would say, Kelly, this is what I want you to do. And then if you would go do that, life would be much better than saying the things that I say and doing the things that I want to do that I do, right? And it works in marriage, parenting. God, what do I do with these kids? It works on the job. God, what do I do with this boss? What do I do with these customers, God? What do I do? It works in the church. What do I do with that pastor? What do I do with that congregation member over there? It works everywhere. God, what do I do? And then do that. But when you get in the flesh and when you deal with things that way, when you lose your endurance, well, somebody's got to say something. Somebody's got to. We end up hurting things. We end up hurting ourselves. We end up hurting the cause. We end up losing us. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anybody say amen to that? When you lose it, when you do what you want to do in your flesh instead of having endurance and faith and glorifying God and trusting God and doing what God wants, when you lose it, your wrath, your anger, your discouragement, depression, giving up, quitting, none of that glorifies God. Now, there's times when you can be angry and sin not. There's times when you can be discouraged and depressed and sin not. There's times for that stuff. What I'm talking about is when you just let it go and lose it instead of enduring. How many of us have fought depression and discouragement? I have. How many of us have fought anger, frustration? I have. It's okay to have it. It's okay to feel it. It's just not okay to lose it because of it. We have to learn some endurance here. We have to learn some wisdom here. I got to go back in my notes a little bit. When Moses killed the Egyptian, it cost him 60 years in the desert when he lost it that time. When Moses broke the tablets, it cost him 40 more days of prayer and fasting. And that time God said, you're going to write this time, not me, buddy. I wrote them the first time you broke them. You write it. I'm not sure how he did that, but he did it. When he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, it cost him a trip to the promised land, and he died in the wilderness. I wonder how many people God has promises for you. He has a promised land for you. He's got a great destiny for you, but because you lose your endurance, you lose that promise. You lose that opportunity. Man, I know a lot of my friends that they've lost all of that potential, all of that opportunity because they gave up. They quit. They couldn't endure. I can look back in my life and say I've had that opportunity, but I blew it. I had that opportunity and I endured and I got out on the other end of it, and hallelujah, God was glorified and everybody was blessed around me because I finally endured that time. And I'm determined, I just turned 53 this month, but I'm determined now to be a guy that will endure instead of lose it. I'm determined to be that person. I was thinking of the song we opened up with, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. There's not a sin fun enough for me to turn back on following Jesus. There isn't. There's not a challenge big enough in ministry for me to turn back on following my calling. That old song said, though none go with me, still I will follow. I will. And I hope you have that. I'm not going to lose my endurance, God. No way, no way am I going to lose my endurance. When you lose, it cost you. It cost Moses those three times, costing big time. How much more can you afford to lose? Man, I think about, can I afford to lose anything else? I don't want to lose anything else. I can't afford to. I don't want to give up my endurance. There are times we actually applaud people losing their faith, losing their cool, losing their composure. There's times we applaud it. There's times we celebrate. We think, they're so forthright. They just say what they think. Nobody has to wonder what they're thinking. I would wish I could just wonder what you're thinking instead of you saying it all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we celebrate people that have a lifestyle of losing it instead of celebrating the people that have a lifestyle of endurance. Like I said, we can say strong stuff when we need to say strong stuff and confront things when we need to confront things. But let's ask God what He wants us to say and what He wants us to do and how He wants us to think about it. And then let's do that. And guess who gets the glory then? God does. Not you and I, but God does. I'm way messed up in my whole notes here. Contentions and confrontations are opportunity for good, not just evil. That contention that Moses and the people had, God said, I'm going to use this to get people closer to me. I'm going to use this so that people will see that I am a good God. I'm an amazing God. That I can provide water out of a rock for them because I love them. And all my leader has to do is speak to the rock, and then God performs the miracle. But Moses got all ticked off. Remember what he said? Must we fetch water out of this rock for you? Remember what else he said? You rebels! He called them names. When you go to name calling, you've lost it. Just in case you don't know, when you resort to name calling, you've now lost it. Officially, you've lost it. The top 10 reasons you know you've lost it. Maybe you should do a David Letterman thing there or something. I don't know. God had a process that he wanted Moses to work. Do you know that God has processes he wants? I'm a process guy. If you know me, it's like Kelly is a process guy. He's analytical, work the process, here's the problem, here's what we got to do, this is the solution we're going to get, let's work the process. And that's the kind of guy I am. But God's pretty process-oriented. He's really process-oriented. In creation, on day one, he didn't say, let there be man. And he was floating around in space with nothing, you know. But God said, no, I think we should create the planet first, and then I think we should get some light on the planet, and then I think we should get some grass and some trees, and then we should get some water and some sunshine and the moon, and we should get that stuff going on, and let's put some animals and critters on there, and then we'll put man on the planet. God's kind of process-oriented. And God has a process he wants you to work. Whatever you're dealing with right now today, there's a process that God wants you to engage to move you towards the result that he wants you to get. You just got to figure out what that process is. Prayer is really cool. Say, God, what do you want me to do? And then listen. Reading the Bible is really cool because God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's the instructions for what you need to do in this situation. It's really cool. So God has a process. He had a process he wanted Moses to work. God would be glorified. The people would be moved closer to God. But Moses lost it. Moses glorified his anger. Moses glorified himself. Moses judged the people. He called them names, and he lost it. And I see familiar things in that whole process. That's a different process than what God wanted. Don't you think? Different process than what God wanted. They were left with the words rebel reverberating through their heart instead of God is great, God is holy, God is good. See, God wanted the people walking away from this experience convicted that they didn't have faith, convicted that they didn't believe in God, convicted that they were attacking God's leader. He wanted them walking away glorifying God with a changed heart. But instead, they walked away with the word rebel reverberating. And they walked away with this image of Moses angrily beating up a rock. He hit the rock twice, didn't he? It's like, this dude, this is, I'm going to hit the rock twice. He was beating up the rock. He was mad. They left thinking about Moses and his anger instead of God and his power. When people walk away from an encounter with you, what are they left with? Are they left with the words rebel, your anger, your carnality, your flesh? Or are they left with, we just had an experience with God's Spirit. God's good. I should change the way I'm thinking. I should change the way I'm acting. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Don't take matters into your own hands. Ask God what to do, then do that. I don't know what to do. Ask God what to do, then do that. Well, God doesn't speak to me. Oh, yes, he does. God's always speaking to us. He's always speaking to us. Anybody have a radio in your car? There are times my radio is not speaking to me. Was it 670 AM is a Boise talk radio station that never talks to me unless I tune it in to that station. God's talking, you just got to tune in. You just got to turn your radio on. Just turn your radio on. Start singing that old song. You should just turn your radio on and listen. Because he's talking. And then do what he says. Then do what he says. Don't exalt yourself. Don't exalt your pain. Don't exalt your frustration. Don't exalt your will. Don't exalt your resentment. Exalt God and what he says to you. And sometimes we talk to each other and it's like, my life is terrible. Can you top this? We exalt our pain. We exalt our resentment. You think you were treated bad. The last church I was in, you know what they did to me? You know what pastor said to me last week? You know, can you top this miserable situation? Don't exalt that stuff. Here are some steps to enduring and not losing. Think God's thoughts, not your own. Dwell on God's thoughts. It's hard work to think a new thought. It's hard work to think God's thoughts. It is. You have to crucify your flesh. You have to say no to your natural tendencies. Get rid of your stinking thinking, right? I had somebody that helped me with that one time. Helped me join an organization that got rid of my stinking thinking. Mark and Jan Trinari, I will never forget the way you blessed me and changed my life because of that. I'm not the same person because you helped me get rid of my stinking thinking. It was a critical thing for me. Thank you for that. We got to get rid of our own thoughts, and we got to get God's thoughts going in our heart and in our mind. You need to speak God's words and not your own words. I've got words, but you really don't want to hear them. Trust me. Speak God's words. Declare his words and not your own. Do God's work and not your own work. Endure, get strong, stay strong, win your race. Do not lose it. Win it. Amen? Amen. Pastor Arby's going to come close it.
All right, you ready to endure? You've endured another Sunday morning of hearing God's word, which builds our faith. That's what the word says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if you want to build your faith, you have to sit under the teaching of the word of God and hear it. So you're building your faith this morning. Good job for enduring. If you guys want to dig in your folders that you received on the way in the door this morning, there's a little sheet like this. It's called the Connect Card. If you want to dig that out, fill out the information on it. The front side is your name, address, email, phone number, whatever you're willing to share with us. It's just our way of staying in contact with you, or if we need to contact you, we have a way to do that. So whatever you're willing to share with us, go ahead and fill that out. And on the back side, Today I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If that's you today, check that box. And if you would like one of us pastors, we'd love to sit down with you and answer any questions you may have and say, okay, what am I getting into as a new believer in Christ? And help you walk through that. And we just want to come alongside of you and strengthen you in the Lord. So check that box. And right below that, I would like to volunteer at Loving Hands. Over the next 2 months, we are moving the store to the new location just down the road here, about a half mile. So we have lots of help. We could use volunteers to help move the store over and get it ready to open on November 17th. So if you want to volunteer at Loving Hands and help out, contact me, Arby, or Brenda Coles, or Kari Limeberry. Any of us can get you lined up to help. Right below that, and Kirsten too. You want another job? She can sign you up. She wants another job to sign you up to help. Thank you, Kirsten. That is her job. Contact Little Red also. She will sign you up to help also. And right below that, losing endurance comes at a high price. I will increase endurance so I can win. If that's you today, just check that box. You want to increase? I need my endurance increased for sure. Absolutely. And the Word tells us that as we draw closer to the end of the age, we need to increase even more. So strengthen yourself, build your endurance. The next box down is, I will increase endurance by thinking God's thoughts, speaking God's words, and doing God's will, not my own. So if that's you today, check that box. And right below that, I hope yours is darker than mine. It says prayer requests and answers to prayer. Mine is barely legible with my young eyes. So if you're longer in the tooth than I, you may not be able to read it. You have to look at it in the right light. But anyway, if you have a prayer request, just write that in. If you have an answer to prayer, write answer to prayer, write that in. The printer, for whatever reason, didn't print that part in dark ink this time. So we love to hear your prayer requests. We love to be in prayer with you over the week about what's going on in your life. We love to bind together in prayer. And also, we love to hear what God's doing in your life, the prayers he's answering.